Welcome to the Unshakable Principle Podcast. I'll be your host, Saeed, and with me is my co-host, Aurangzeb Sohail. We'll be discussing the business principles that have stood the sands of time. Gentlemen, welcome to the Unshakable Principles Podcast. With me is Moisaid, and I'm Aurangzeb. And today we'll be going over Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Yep, and David Goggins is the toughest man on earth. And he came from being the weakest man God ever created to being the toughest man alive. Ultra marathon runner, Navy SEAL, fireman, ultra marathon sprinter, went through 3 hell weeks, had a troubled childhood. He was everything people thought he wouldn't be, and he became even more. So we'll be going over his book, which was, in my opinion, one of the best book. That's why I chose to do it at the end, because it was so impactful. And we'll go over the principles that he discussed, and we'll discuss them with Moise. Let's go. So, Moise.
So, we listened to the audiobook version of this.
Yeah.
Also included a part of David Goggins and another person, which I don't remember his name, but podcast was very interesting because the fact is, the book was narrated by another person, but David Goggins added his perspective, which wasn't really present in the book version, so you could really sense the emotions that he was feeling in when he was telling his story. And that was something pretty new, and he was kind of like testing it. I feel like it was a good test overall, because I feel like I got a lot of value out of it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, at first when I started to listen to the audiobook, I'm like, who the heck is this person and why isn't David Goggins narrating? But after like 2 to 3 hours, you kind of get used to it, and then you want the other guy to narrate and David Goggins to provide more detail. And all in all, it was a great experience actually, because you got to learn so much other than the book, which itself was quite long and had a lot of meaning to it. So, shall we begin by analyzing that, or do you want to talk about David Goggins first?
So, I kind of like just wanted to break down the book for readers who are heading into this podcast. So the book is an overview of David Goggins' life and up till now. The book goes over in segments, starting from his childhood, going through his early days with his first marriage, and then going into his life as a Navy SEAL, and all the experiences that he felt, as well as all the emotions that he felt throughout the whole process. So he not only tells his story, but he also tells the epilogue that was going inside his head.
Yeah.
Throughout yeah. his journey, so he really dives deep into the mentality that he had to have to get where he was, to get yeah. where he is right now. So that's a general overview of this book. Aurangzeb, feel free to add anything on it if you want.
Yeah. So David Goggins, as you see him now, you might think he's this awesome person who can do literally anything that is humanly possible, and even the impossible. But when he goes into this story, you see the vulnerability, and he tells about it. He says that it wasn't easy doing this book and uncovering the ugly truth behind his troubled past, and it kind of adds on to his whole life's perspective and how that shaped him. So he didn't have it easy. He had it the most toughest, And he changed that into a blessing. So, and he tells us basically in this book that this book is about the reader and how he can transform his life. And this is not just narrating his life, how you can use the same exact principles, the same accountability to change your own life and change your circumstances. I think we should start
reading through this book.
Yeah.
Made me realize that quote that somebody always has, and just like reading through what he had to go through throughout his life made me really be grateful for everything that I have and that I'm blessed with.
Yes. And for me, it was like, if someone can go through all of that, then what you're going through mm-hmm. is very minor. And it's about keeping perspective. So that book gave me a lot of perspective. And it told me that the human body and the human mind is very powerful. Once connected together, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, you hear a lot of these successful people talk about the mind-body relationship. And just having that mentality, changing your life circumstances, and you could throw a multitude of things in it, like the law of attraction, and that's all I have. But,
that suffices. So he begins by describing his childhood, which didn't seem normal at all. He was abused, his mother was abused, he was kicked out of his house, he had to actually flee his house. And even at school, he struggled a lot. He couldn't read. His reading, writing capabilities were so bad that he continually cheated tests. And he did that up to, I think, high school, or even later in the later stages.
Yeah.
But the troubled childhood he had had such a negative impact that he carried that tension with him everywhere he went, right? And the struggle for power and struggle of poverty and sickness and not having enough and being abused mentally, physically, all sort of things, right? Being called nigger in school. And so that was tough. Even the reading this book is telling a story is hard. You know, you get that sort of thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some technical difficulties, but we're back with Aurangzeb.
Yeah,
back to you, Aurangzeb.
Yeah, so where was I? I was narrating the story of God.
He was being called the N-word and all that stuff.
Yeah, he was being abused. They wrote they were gonna kill him on his car, and he had nowhere to go. And he says the best part about this was that no one came to help him, and he had to figure all the shit out himself. Mm-hmm. And that was some tremendous insight, that when no one comes to help you, you gotta help yourself. And people don't do that. They try to shy away and
say, okay, I feel like that's the crux of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is, at the end of the day, everything is up to you and everything's on your head. And it's not like you're not gonna find people that are gonna be able to help you. It's just the fact that at the end of the day, when you're working on your business, it's like everything's on your head at the end of the day. I feel like I just said at the end of the day a lot, but anyhow.
Yeah, it's all right.
Onwards to you, Aurangzeb.
So from a troubled childhood, he had no life direction, right? So he couldn't read and write for shit. And so he himself claims that his reading level was that of a third grade, because he had cheated his way, and he thought that was okay, right? But he had this one thing, right? It was known as his accountability mirror, which he encourages people to use. He went into the mirror and did some self-talk, and he was real with it. That was his true authentic self, and that helped him shape him to be the man he is today, right? Because he knew he needed to be accountable to something, and to be accountable to something, there's nothing bigger than being accountable to yourself. So he did that, and she used to ask him questions daily, or whenever he went to that, why is he doing this, what is his purpose, right? And is this all to end to life? Does he give up at this point? No, he doesn't. He still keeps on going. So that was his motivation, actually. And he describes how ended up, his famous story of he ended up spraying for cockroaches, right? He was in his mid-20s, right? And sorry?
No, I didn't say it.
He ended up spraying for cockroaches, right? And he would go home after that, sit on the couch, eat a box of donuts, and drink shake, chocolate shake. So he was a fat dude, right? And he needed to tell himself that he is fat, right? He is not working out, and he is unfit. He's paying for cockroaches, so he couldn't live that lifestyle. And basically, he was at the lowest point in his life, right? And his story actually changed around when he was one day about to go to shower, and he turned on the program where they were showing Navy SEALs going through Hell Week. And he thought it was really awesome.
That yeah. He experiences, but once he has that mentality set in his brain, there's a slow upward curve that he kind of like follows. His life kind of like has an upward direction where he's just heading uphill, and obviously he's seeing better destinations and better views as he goes along. But the change comes from his mentality, and the thing is that initially in his childhood, he was obviously tortured and all of that stuff. He was abused in high school and all of that stuff. He was also living in a white neighborhood. And the fact is that he was a minority, and he couldn't really find a lot of friends.
That too.
And all that stuff.
That was an important aspect.
And while he was there, he kind of like ended up becoming a rebel of sorts. He wasn't really into the whole studying and all that stuff. He was just like, okay, I'm just gonna be that cool boy with loud ass speakers in his car and everything.
Yeah.
But
he used to play basketball.
Through his what's up?
He used to play basketball.
Yeah, he used to play basketball in high school, and he was like really passionate about it. He wanted to make it to the NBA and everything. But since he was in a white neighborhood and there was a lot of racism at that time, he all mushy mushy with the coaches and stuff. So the coaches would cut him off at any small minor mistake, and he wasn't really willing to bend his head to get back in the team and all that stuff. So he had a lot of pride back then. And he ended up changing the course of his life after he met a Navy SEAL, and he told him and the whole audience a story about him and how he saved a person when another person landed on his parachute, which is a very dangerous situation when you're in the sky. And kind of like from there on he transitions into him shaving his head again in front of the accountability mirror, and you know, like he
Yeah, but I think even the biggest turning point in his life was when he was praying for cockroaches, like I was just saying, right? He was watching the program for the Navy SEALs, and he said they're all quitting, right? And that's what he said to himself, that he quit too, and he was quitting on life all his life. So that's not how it's supposed to be. And he said, that's it, I'm gonna become a Navy SEAL. So that's what he did. He started to call up recruiters and ask them, I want to be a SEAL. And he would give in. Firstly, they wouldn't take most of his calls. And wherever he went, they actually laughed him out there because he was like, I think, 6'1" and like 245 pounds, I think. But real heavy, right? And that goes on. 300. Yeah, and with those measures, you don't go into Navy SEAL training, right? So there was this one recruiter who actually said that he doesn't have time to communicate on the phone, so he should just show up. So he went there into his office and said that I think he said first that he needed to take the aptitude test, right? As well. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes. Continue. Fast forward to the part where he actually studied for the test real hard because he couldn't read. He had a reading level of a grade 3 student. He couldn't read for shit, so he had to train himself by working double and triple the amount of hours than an average student, just to rehearse and repeat the same paragraph, the same lines over and over again until it was instilled in his mind. And that was his relentlessness, right? He knew that he needed to he needed to work hard if he was to beat the talent, right? And that's what he did.
Yeah, eventually. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think eventually he went into Navy SEAL training, and then his famous that he went to 3 Hell Weeks. And that was one of the most toughest thing a man could do, right?
So, yeah. And
you want to add something to that?
The thing about David Goggins is that he's been through hardship, more hardship than most people can imagine in their lives. It's not that he's the person that's like has had the most hardship. There's obviously people who are worse off. He was always born with privilege being in the United States and all, and everything else. But the thing is that with all of this hardship, he was able to overcome it eventually, even though there were like a lot of downs, a lot of bumps in his life. He was 300 pounds eating donuts, smoothie and whatever. And through it all, eventually what happened, trying to get the 2 weeks of hell, he had to get his weight down to about 200 pounds from 300. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers, but he worked like he worked out 3 times a day and got his weight down within 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And that was one of the most astonishing things, right? Like, no one would have thought that in 3 months, a man who didn't qualify for SEAL training could do that, right? Like, that's one of the toughest training, military trainings on the planet. But he proved them again and again. And then we come to know that he went to 3 Hell Weeks. And even going through 1 Hell Week, people quit. He went to 3 because he had multiple injuries and he had to start back over again. And he didn't quit. He had to start over again due to his injuries. So he keeps telling us that it's a mind game, and that's all there is to it. You got to control the mind. You got to control the governor. And we'll talk about the 40% rule. Do you want to add something to that, Moise?
Yeah. I just wanted to wrap up the first part of the book because I feel like going into much detail will leave the audience a lot of things to go over when they actually read the book. So.
Yeah.
In conclusion of like the first
few chapters of the book. David Goggins kind of like goes through the first two weeks of Hell Week. He doesn't really succeed as such. He has to go through it again. I know this is a spoiler, and that's exactly what I wanted to avoid. But anyhow.
I just said that too.
So the next thing is, I'll tell you what happened next.
he actually lost some friends in the Afghan War, right? And after losing the his most dear friends, he wanted to raise some money for the foundation, right? What was it called? The Red Army Foundation? Yeah, something like that. So he wanted to raise money. And the only way he could do it was through running ultra marathons. And a guy like him had never run that many miles. And we're talking about greater than 100 miles, right? And this is one of his famous stories. And it's important to include this detail because he goes over such level of detail in how he tapped the mind to... Because at this point, when he was running the ultra marathon, he was fat again, right? And he wanted to raise money. But the thing was, he wanted to qualify for this ultra marathon called Badwater, right? But to qualify for the Badwater, they had a prerequisite, right, of a San Diego one day, where you run a 100-mile... we run a track of 100 miles in 24 hours and to see how many miles you can get. His goal was 100 miles. So he was still fat. He had to run 100 miles. And he did that by sheer will. That's all I can say. Sheer will. Unstoppable mentality. He was nearing death, right? But he was on the verge of death, but he realized something, that the human mind and body, once connected, can do anything. And he tells us how you should, motivation is crap. It goes out the window because it just comes and goes, right? You need to stay driven. And when you're driven, whatever is in front of you will get destroyed. So
yeah, I wanted to like add on that. And say that, like, David Goggins' whole theory of mentality is the fact that once you make a commitment to yourself and once you make a promise to yourself, see that thing through. If you're not able to see that thing through, go over it again and try to make whatever the circumstance. So one of the anecdotes that he tells is that he missed 10 pull-ups or something in his race, and he had to go back to the gym after he came back home and do the whole workout all over again, a 3-hour workout all over again, just because he missed 10 reps in his workout. So that was just kind of like his mentality and him keeping himself in check. And that really ultimately boiled down to him telling himself the truth, as Aurangzeb said before, that if someone's fat, tell yourself that you're fat. Don't just like put a facade there.
You're just a little bit chubby. No, you're fat. And if you're not performing well in your studies, you need to tell yourself, you're a stupid MF. You need to go study. You need to double the amount of hours, right? And maybe triple them if you want to compete with the high level ones. And this is actually very true for me in my personal case, right? Sorry to interrupt you. I know in the studies, because I never got in the 90s. It was rarely, not after my O-levels. Like, I got till 90s. But after that, it was just a constant decline. And ever since I started university, and now I'm about to finish it, I've always wondered what was that main mentality that was needed to actually make the shift, right? And to analyze why aren't I getting the same grades? And the reason was that the work ethic needed to change. I know the 8-hour work work day didn't work, right? I had to put in more, and that's what I started doing, and that's when I started to see an increase.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Just need to let that out.
So that was a pause. Okay. So we were talking about David Goggins' mentality of when he ran the San Diego one day, right? But that's right. To make matters worse, later down the book, he makes another shocking discovery about his body, which I won't spoil for you guys. But he had a certain condition. And given those circumstances, he still overachieved everything he went in just because he had that ability, right? And he teaches us a valuable lesson in all of his endeavors, right? He said that your mind, when you're about to quit, you're only at 40% of your capacity. So this basically shows that your mind makes you quit because it doesn't want to do uncomfortable stuff, right? Like, for example, deciding to do this podcast even. We were procrastinating of what time should we do it, right? And we wanted to quit because it's a tough thing, right? You need to record and then edit and then put out good content. But our mind tells you, oh no, the easy way is why don't you take a nap, right? But nothing ventured, nothing gained, right? So that's what he's talking about.
Yep. And yeah, David Goggins, like in the first half it was just like his childhood and his upbringing. In the second half it's about his time with the Navy SEALs. In the third part he goes over the ultra marathon and how he ran it. There were a lot of problems while he was running the marathon. It's a spoiler. Where, like, if you've seen any David Goggins clips, you've probably heard of this, but he pretty much ran a marathon on a broken foot, on a broken knee, I think.
Yeah,
not
broken
exactly
leg.
Sure.
Broken leg.
On a broken leg. On a broken leg. He had his whole leg swollen and everything,
yeah.
But, like, with his mentality and with his mindset, he was able to persist and he was able to subside the pain and
yeah.
Run through the whole marathon.
And then he went on
the final
body. Yeah, and then actually he wanted to push his body to the maximum absolute limit, right? And broke the world's record for pull-ups twice.
Yes.
And that's a tough thing, man. he's a beast actually. So one of the other things, He actually is not a big fan of excuses, right? As evident. And he teaches you in this book how you can actually get rid of your excuses, which is through auditing your day, right? He goes down that he audited his day down to every single minute. So before everyone was up, he'd already rode the bike around 4 miles, I think jogged 25 miles back to work. So he always had the time, he always made it a priority to get his runs in and his workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Goggins was someone who completely believed in hard work. And the fact is, when he was aiming for the record for the most pull-ups the first time around, he actually failed because he was kind of like underestimating the pull-up record. Although he did train, but he didn't train to that extent where, which was needed or which was necessary to complete the world record for the highest number of pull-ups. And his pull-up record was basically the most pull-ups in 24 hours. And the way he did it was doing 6 pull-ups a minute. And I know from personal experience, because I've been trying to do the same thing, but mostly I end up with 3 or 4 pull-ups a minute, and I try to keep on increasing them with every day. But anyhow.
Yeah, but he actually pulled up like 5,000, right? So
pulled up 4,600 something, but his record's actually beaten right now by someone who did 5,800 pull-ups.
That's a major feat, man.
Yeah. And overall, it's like...
And when he's actually read the, when you read this book from start to finish, and you see this man who had nothing, and then he had the ability to become something, so which is truly astounding. And this book is actually serves as a motivation and like a sort of a, like a reality check on.
I feel like, as he said in the beginning, motivation is crap. So I wouldn't use the word motivation, but reality check for sure. When you see this guy came up,
but still for people sitting on their couches, right? It gives them a reason to get back up. Although they still need to dig deeper into that motivation and find meaning to be actually driven, they need to do the first part, right? So you can't agree with everything.
Can't agree with everything. Can't agree with anything. But anyway. So one of the themes that I noticed throughout this book was the fact that David Goggins, a sort of a marathon mentality, where it's not just the specific goal that needs to be achieved. It's he kind of like keeps on looking at the long run, and most of the feats that he achieved, it's a marathon. It's the number of pull-ups within 24 hours. It's not like a speed test. It's mostly resistance and
he always says that I never say that I've arrived, right? He never has that mentality where he says that I've arrived. He's never arrived. He's always at it, staying hard.
Yeah. And to quote the famous Will Smith, if you and I get on the treadmill, either you're gonna get off it or I'm gonna die trying. So it's kind of like
he's gonna die trying with David Goggins, though.
I feel like that
because David Goggins is not coming off. And that's what everyone should aspire to be, right? To push themselves always. He says that you don't have to do what he did. You need to find your own greatness. So you just have to be disciplined in your discipline.
I like that. Whatever commitments you're making to yourself, and sorry to cut you off, but it doesn't have to be sports. It doesn't have to be a physical activity. It could be something like coding, like relentlessly for hours and hours, or if you're in sales, just like keeping at it even after you're getting rejected again and again. That persistence, that resiliency. go ahead.
Yeah, cracking the whip. That was Jordan Peterson, right? He used to say, you're cracking the whip day in, day out. And so if you just stay disciplined and tell yourself, do what you tell yourself that you're going to do, and just follow up on everything and don't give up so easily, because when you're about to give up, just always remember the 40% rule, right? Because your mind has a governor that won't let you go past 40. It will tell you to quit. But you have to look past that, because there's still 60% left in the tank. And the stories in the book, they teach us that they teach us the same lesson, that don't give up, because you still have more in the tank left. Goggins did, everyone did, and you have too. So don't let the bullshit get in the way, right? Get in the way of life. So just conquer everything. You can, you will, you must.
And that's one of the things that David Goggins really emphasizes, is the fact that when you're on that, when you're doing something and you quit once, that quitting mentality kind of like just becomes a habit, as we've seen in a multitude of things, and as we've heard other people, other successful people say as well. Once you start quitting, it becomes a habit, and that cycle really, even quitting once, leads you down to a mentality that's not really suitable or feasible for you to be at your best. But anyhow, I feel like this is a good place to end the podcast.
And because we'll be moving into our next phase of the podcast theme.
So I'd like to thank you, Moise, for joining me in the last episode of this podcast, which was episode number 10, David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. We'll be moving into our next phase, which we will describe very shortly, probably in the next podcast, which will be a couple minutes long, or we'll keep you updated. So stay tuned. Thank you.